Welcome to the first episode of Due Date, the legend of Dusty Cantina, gunslinger, librarian. This is chapter one, Dusty Rides into Town. They say that Dusty Cantina rode into the town of Dry Gulch on a Thursday. No one really paid much attention, aside from a dog, which opened one eye for a moment, then closed it. Of course, there weren't much of the town back then. There was a stagecoach route along the town's main and only street. The stage stopped about a day's ride off in one direction and stopped again in another day's ride on the other. So someone with an optimistic turn of mind figured they might as well put a stage station there in Dry Gulch. And a few of the local prospectors and ranchers and such who might wander into town to get their mail or get a yard of flannel at the general store might not go so far as to call Dry Gulch a booming metropolis, but they sure appreciated it for a change of scenery. One thing, though, Dry Gulch always had a mighty fine public library with its collection of genre fiction, bestsellers, and government documents with a special focus on the extraction of physical resources from the natural environment. Well, as I was saying, Dusty rode into town on this particular Thursday. The horse ambled down the road without much evident guidance to the largest building in town, distinguished primarily by its miasma of stale beer and piss. Dismounting, Dusty entered the saloon. The faded saloon sign above the doorway suggested a far more opulent past than a prosperous present. Linky, the piano player, straightened up and plunked out a few lively notes in an attempt to provide a festive tone, but Dusty waved him to silence. "Don't bother," growled Dusty. With a slight shrug, Plinky picked up his recently discarded newspaper and, using his piano as a reading stand, resumed his perusal of the paper. The establishment was far from empty that day, and Dusty's arrival was surprising enough to interrupt the conversation of the regulars at the table. They watched in boozy silence as Dusty strode into the room and slapped a large gold coin onto the bar bottle. The bartender gauged the size of the coin and waited. Dusty fished out a smaller silver coin and slid it alongside. And a glass. Without a word, the barkeep swept the coins out of sight and produced the bottle. He poured whiskey into a surprisingly clean glass and set it gently on the bar.
"New in town, stranger?" asked the bartender, professionally taking a swipe at the bar with his cloth. Dusty said nothing, but looked at the drink, said, "After a fashion, I reckon," and downed half a glass in one swallow.
"Name is on a smock, friend,"
the bartender said, bound and determined to hold up his role as a convenial host. "What might yours be?" Dusty took a look at the glass like the answer was there. After another sip, "Dusty Cantina." Sitting down the empty glass with one hand, Dusty refilled it from the bottle. Plinky, the piano-playing feller, closed his piano, carefully folded up his newspaper, put his hat on his head, and left the room without a word of farewell. The other fellers in the place seemed disinclined to resume their alcohol-fueled discussions, choosing, instead, to focus on Dusty. And the silence began to feel a mite onerous, at least to Honest Mike, who felt obligated to break it.
Heh, Mike said. I heard tell of a dusty cantina riding up Montana way, he began.
Road, corrected Dusty. Left. Dusty took another drink.
There are other folks that say they saw Dusty down Santa Fe way with the Fargo brothers a while back, Honest Mike offered hopefully.
I do remember them Fargo boys, Dusty agreed in a quiet voice. Where does the time go? It were asked in a philosophical-like tone.
Medium mama,
a female whose purpose in the saloon was somewhat nebulous, but in general seemed there to promote commerce in the place, had the misfortune to cast Honest Mike's eye, wearing a dress which shared the same attributes as the sign outside, in that it reflected a more prosperous past and implied continuing hard times. Mama put down her penny dreadful with a scarcely discernible sigh, hopefully setting a piece of ribbon to mark her place. She stood, adjusted her hair, then approached Dusty.
Don't bother, growled Dusty,
in almost exactly the same tone that was used in rebuffing the piano player feller.
Medium Mama shrugged and took her seat, picking up her book again to resume reading the tale of Consuela, the bandit queen of California.
Hey, mister, shine your shoes! Dusty looked down into the earnest face of a young urchin. Good-looking boots like those deserve a good cleaning, mister, the urchin said with more verve than veracity. He was clearly launching into a well-oiled routine.
I can get them looking as good as new in no time, mister, and a good cleaning will keep them looking great forever.
I tell you now, Dusty nearly smiled at that. Very nearly. But the kid's energy got better results than the offer of piano music or feminine company, because Dusty did reach into them faded dungarees for another coin and flipped the kid a nickel. The coin was snatched clean out of the air, and both kid and boots were soon hidden by a flurry of dust and rags. The verbal barrage continued from beneath the activity.
Yes, sirree, Bob. Nothing like a clean set of boots to set a feller up like a real gin.
Indeed, the boots that were emerging from the months of trail detritus was revealing boots of superior quality, not often seen in Dry Gulch. In those days.
Yes, sir. This is a mighty fine pair of boots. Sure is shooting.
With the word shooting, Dusty froze, which caused the kid to pause and stop mid-prattle.
Something the matter, mister? Gosh, I'm sorry I said something to upset you, mister. I'm really sorry. Golly, Ma says I should learn to keep my big fat mouth shut. Why do I go on and on and on like that? She says, never knowing when to stop flapping my gums. Gee, whatever it was, didn't mean to mean nothing by it. Drawn by the commotion, Medium Mama hurried over to defend her boy. Whatever he said, mister, you let him be. He's just a kid. He don't mean nothing. And you, she nudged the kid, remember to use pronouns like I taught you. Yes, ma'am. I didn't mean nothing to you by what I said, the kid said dutifully.
Never mind all that, said Dusty, and mother and son relaxed. But kid, Dusty added.
Yeah, mister,
said the kid. It ain't mister, it's miss. Folks said that it was a Thursday when Dusty rode into town. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Back then, each day was pretty much like the other. Then, Dusty rode into town, and it didn't take long before the fine people of Dry Gulch figured out things were going to change in a hurry, no matter what day of the week it was. Well, that's it for this episode of Due Date, the true legend of Dusty Cantina, gunslinger, librarian. This episode were written by Dan McLaughlin and Margaret Elan Schmidt, read by Dan McLaughlin, and produced by the fine folks at Totally Honest Productions. That's it for this episode. See you next time on the trails, and have a good time there at the library. Bye-bye.